This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Molly and Hall talk Cubs baseball in Chicago sports every weekday morning, 5:30 to 10 on 670 The Score in the Odyssey app. Shouldn't that say Spiegel and Holmes on there?
Someday we'll get that big morning show promotion. Right now, it's all them.
Afternoon show's pretty popular, too.
Afternoons on The Score.
Mayor Brandon Johnson joining us here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody and also on Twitch on 670 The Score. It is twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore.
First of all, Rahimi, I should have congratulated you at the top of this conversation. Thank you for just breaking barriers and just being a true model for all sports fans, but especially our young girls, our young women who are just breaking barriers. My son was on a basketball team, and the team he played, both of the coaches were coached by women. It's just an incredible, remarkable testament to how leaders like yourself have provided so much voice and confidence to people. So thank you.
Mayor Brandon Johnson on the midday show today, and I echo his sentiments about our teammate Layla Rahimi. Thought that was very nice of him to say. He didn't have to say that.
Absolutely.
But it's true.
He called her Rahimi. Now, have a little respect. Does he know her like that? That was my question.
Honestly, can we take a brief break and try to get some of this stuff figured out?
I don't know.
She knows now. She's learned. She's doing a great job. And that was a very, very cool moment between the mayor and between Layla. I thanked Layla as we came in because Layla had mentioned the thing to Crane Kenny, like of her own volition about me and the anthem. I was like, thanks for saying that. She said, come on, we're a team.
She's a really good teammate.
It's what we do. So, yep. Yeah, very, very, very cool stuff. All three of them, Layla, Marshall, Mark Grody, had a chance to talk to the mayor today. And you know what it is. I mean, well, you are a mayor. But of Worrytown. But you know what it is to be a mayor and to try and drive the conversation and avoid saying anything while you're saying stuff.
Yeah, that's the part of this is just my feeling on it. Oftentimes, politicians, especially in this city, they love to go do stuff with sports. And I think that there is a lack of regard for the level of journalism that is required to work in sports.
Dick Butka.
I think there's a lot of that where it's like, oh, I'll just go and hang out
at the funny pages.
And I know that this word is a loaded word, but I do mean it in its like most Webster's definition. They're trying to put out their propaganda and think in a lot of ways that sports places are the safest place for them to do it because those people aren't covering City Hall or whatever.
It's like when the mayor showed up at what was then NBC Sports Chicago and thought he was just going to have a nice comfy little sit down.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Holmes had something else for him. He came out there with his first Lissagore around his neck, didn't he, Tanny? And then he left there with a second one. That's how that works. Journalists for reals.
Just there are a lot. Sometimes there are questions that need to be asked. Like, luckily, we aren't in as a charged environment, and I think that Mayor Johnson actually provided that charged environment from a sports perspective last year when we sat down. This was a friendlier time and a friendlier opportunity,
and yet still. We must ask questions.
Grody knows there's Lissagores out there to be won, and you just got to go out there and grab them. They're right there for you.
Can I just whiteboard the Lissagore? It's a journalism award, people. Just so you know, Lawrence has a couple of them.
Everyone knows speaks. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's one of the most prestigious awards you can get in our industry. Everyone knows.
Also, the Pitch and Hit Club Award is also extremely.
I would also like to point out that Chris Tannehill also has a Lissagore Award.
Does he just have one? Just a piece of one? He's got like a section.
No, he has.
Did you tear him off a corner of yours? Is that how that works?
No, Lawrence was kind enough to give me my own.
You got your own
plaque. Yeah.
Wow.
Brought it home, told the wife. I was like, get all your stupid compliance awards out of here. Make way for my Alyssagore. Finally, I have some self-respect.
Juju's got a ribbon from swim class. You're ripping it off the wall. Get this crap out of here. Make way for my Alyssagore.
No participation trophies.
No way.
So anyway, there was a lot of conversation on middays, and they did a great job in talking with the mayor about stuff that matters and trying to figure out some of the things when it comes to the stadium. Speaks, we're in the same place, right? Like this, the Bears playing in Chicago is over.
It's done, but the mayor can't admit that nor agree to that. So he was given a chance to kind of talk about why it would still be the best thing to do to have it downtown by our pal Mark Grody, who went gunning for Alyssagores and tried to ask a question.
If I may, Mayor Johnson, I'd like to get into a little bit of stadium talk, because all the momentum right now for the Bears' future home seems to be Arlington Heights. Everybody I talk to is like, oh yeah, it's Arlington Heights, Arlington Heights. What are the percentages that it's going to be Arlington Heights? Is there any chance that the Bears could still build in the city of Chicago?
Look, the Bears belong in the city of Chicago, right? And I believe that, you know, people know that. You know, there's a tremendous momentum, as you know, Joe Mansueto with the Fire. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of investments to build a new stadium. The 1901 project on the west side of Chicago, we're talking about billions of dollars of investments. 63,000 construction jobs, 12,000 permanent construction jobs or permanent jobs that these two big investments will provide. The All-Star Game coming to the city of Chicago is proof positive that there is a great deal of confidence that people have in our city, particularly as violent crime continues to go down. Homicides are down 32%. Shooting victims are down almost 40%. You know, we're seeing unprecedented levels of investment. So my door still remains open. And perhaps because I am a Cubs fan, I just remain optimistic no matter what the circumstances are. But they really do belong in the city of Chicago. And look, we've had some really strong conversations with, you know, the McCaskey family, Kevin Warren, really strong conversations around the value of the lakefront. And again, my door will remain open, but it's really clear that with all of the investments that are happening in our city, again, from Joe Mansueto and Chicago Fire, the 1901 project outside the United Center, the momentum is certainly swinging in our direction, and we're on a nice little hot winning streak here. So my door is going to remain open, and the hope is that Chicago Bears fans, you know, rally around in this moment to, you know, challenge all of us to come together to figure out a pathway to make sure that the 100-year history doesn't end in this moment, and that we can set ourselves up for the next 100 years.
Does it feel like a long shot, though? Because that's what it sounds like to me in hearing what you're saying there, Mayor Johnson, that you're optimistic, your door remains open, but when was the last time you had real talk about the stadium being downtown for the Bears? Has there actually been that in the last week or two?
Well, not within the last week or two, but we'll do everything in our power. I will, to make sure that the Bears remain a Chicago team. Nothing against the suburbs.
I hope I'm one of those people. I would love to see it downtown. I'm not feeling, with all due respect, I'm just not feeling the momentum right now, but I hope it gets there.
Yeah, well, we're on the same page there. And so the next time, you know, I have a conversation with the Bears, I'll perhaps invite you in the meeting and you can share that sentiment, okay?
I am.
All right, so we're on the same page there.
What page are they on, Speaks?
Not feeling the momentum is what I reacted to the first time. Now I guess he's on the same page with the whole thing, which is I'd like to have it happen, but I'm not feeling the momentum. So it's the whole schmear. It's the mayor being like, yeah, why don't you come in? Maybe you could help me because I'm not getting anywhere. Right? I mean, he's like, he's not feeling the momentum. He's trying. He's putting it out there, but ship has sailed.
I give this mayor a lot of credit for mending some fences. He and Kevin Warren deserve some credit for doing that, because
it was bad.
Mm-hmm, the relationship between City Hall and the Bears wasn't great. And I'm not saying that it would have changed the fortune of this, because what makes the most sense for the Bears is to build their own place so that they can make as much revenue as they want. on it. I'm not saying that I think that that's the best thing. I'm saying that if you look at it from their perspective, they, for 100 years, had to share it with the city. And in some cases, they've had to worry about what the city or the park district wanted versus what they wanted. I always bring up the example of Kanye built a house at Soldier Field, and the Bears had to play there a couple of days later.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that where they didn't have control of the environment in which they were playing.
And with the new one, they still wouldn't. The one that the mayor is like talking about. Like, yeah. It'd be a dome and it'd be cool and the city would own it, though. And oh, by the way, we'd have 5 days of Beyonce, not just three, because right. It's in a dome and those would pay for our deficit, by the way.
But the Bears can do that themselves.
They could have days of Beyonce out in Arlington Heights.
Or whoever they want out there, Arlington and Heights, but I do give him a lot of credit because it was bad, Speaks.
Like it was really bad.
The saber rattling that went on with the previous administration was out of control.
I remember when the announcement came that the Bears had bought the land in Arlington Heights and that momentous day. And within, like, what, 20 minutes, there was an angry press release from Lori Lightfoot's
office.
About
the Packers.
Yeah. Like, she mentioned the Packers.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
And, like anger.
Where I disagree with the mayor is this idea that the Bears have to stay in Chicago. No, they don't.
No, but they have to keep working together. Yeah. Like, the Bears will always need Chicago to have a good relationship.
Unlike other cities, we don't walk away from our most storied and iconic assets.
They're going to walk away from you.
That was part of the 5 to 7 minute visual of all the new Soldier Field renderings with Bill Curtis doing the mayor's bidding. That was not an angry press release. It was a passive aggressive sneer with tremendous elocution from Bill Curtis.
What I'd like to see happen, and it still hasn't happened. It was going on when I sat down with the mayor, and apparently it was going on today. I'd like to see the mayor and the governor get on the same page. I'd like to see some of that olive branch work that the mayor did with the Bears.
I'm going to be honest. I'm picturing Dave Koerner and you, the mayor of Worrytown. That's what you're talking about, right?
Who I used to sit next to in the press box.
There you go. So you guys have been together in the past.
Koerner will occasionally pop in like inside of a something that we post and tag me and be like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? So, I mean, I think we're fine.
Yeah, but the current mayor and the current governor, maybe not so much.
Maybe not so much, and I'd love to see that whole thing fixed. The mayor did bring up some of the things, and I'm surprised that he and I are on the same page about this. He did, when he was talking about the 78, he talked about like some of the real logistical problems that still have to be ironed out for not just the fire, but if the White Sox wanted to go down there too.
Yeah, we came into the segment, I think, with the voice of Cole Kmet talking about stuff. I believe that was this segment. If not, it was earlier.
No, that was an hour ago, but that's okay. When you're having a good time doing radio stuff.
So
you know?
I was listening really hard to the show an hour ago. This hour, not so much.
Well, you're not far off, Speaks, because we do have Cole Kmet in this segment.
Yeah.
Because Cole Kmet was asked about a new stadium, and remember, he's a kid from Arlington Heights.
So would you rather have it in your backyard or on Soldier Field is the vibe, right? Yep.
You get out there on the field, but then you love that, and the weather's great, and it's summertime, mm-hmm. and then you come back to the back of house area. Does it remind you how much you guys need a new stadium?
I don't want to say that. I'm sure it reminds you of that, yeah. I think when you go visit other places, you can see you know, what Kevin and everyone upstairs are kind of aspiring towards when you go to Allegiant and SoFi and, you know, even US Bank up in Minneapolis, which I know Kevin was part of. So you can see kind of, you know, their vision, what they want to achieve with that type of stuff and the architecture that you see around the league of these different stadiums. So I definitely understand it and definitely get it. And it'll be cool to see where that project goes for sure.
I'm a stadium nerd, I would say.
So he understands what good modern stadiums look like and what the vibe can be and how it can all feel. And he knows that's what they need.
Yeah. The sad part is Cole Kmet will probably never see that stadium as a player.
But
he's at least halfway through his career. He's maybe not more.
He's in year six, which feels insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he probably will never see it, but...
Because shovels are supposed to go in the ground.
But when it's time for the reunion...
So wait, there's only 4 months left, mm-hmm. right?
When it's time for the reunion of the 2027 Super Bowl team, and perhaps 2032 for the five-year reunion, or
sure.
2037 for the 10-year reunion, Cole Kmet can come back. And in fact, if it's in Arlington Heights, that's the day he could announce his candidacy for the mayor of Arlington Heights. Seriously, can you imagine if you're Cole Kmet and you win a Super Bowl with the Bears, you can do anything you want in Arlington Heights or thereabouts for the rest of your days.
He can kind of do whatever he wants in Arlington Heights now. But
you see what my guy Jim Schwantz had going on. He didn't even win a Super Bowl with the Bears. He won it elsewhere, and he's still all the power in the world. So, Cole Kmet, the world is yours.
It's always sunny in 75 in Palatine.
That's right.
Stop off his Spunky Dunkers. Great donut place in Palatine.
Oh, yeah. German chocolate cake donut right there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The donut tour that Lawrence needs to go on and that you need to be a part of too, apparently, Tanny. My goodness.
Got to get Mike Talkman out there with us at Spunky Dunkers.
He pounds those donuts.
You better believe it. They should have a Talkman donut.
They should have a Palatine pounder. They should have a pounder out there. Or maybe a quarter pounder. Huh? See what I did there? Add a little measurement. Half pounder? I don't know what's, quarter
that
pounder.
That deserved a rim shot.
Thank you, Chuck.
We just call it the pounder.
Do you have a donut map? Have you ever made a donut map?
No, but I probably should.
You should.
There's a lot of places that I like. Mm-hmm. I mean, Spunky Dunkers is actually really high on my list, by the way. But it's kind of far from where I live. But if I'm ever around there.
I like Spunky Dunker because it reminds me of Funky Drummer.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It takes me to Bernard Purdy and, the Funky Drummer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that makes me happy. So, and the donuts probably would as well.
They're really good.
You know how people sometimes say goodbye to you at the end of the interview and let you know when they're done?
Yeah. So let's whiteboard this for people.
Well, because Shane Smith did it to me.
Yes. But oftentimes, we'll have a window with someone like the mayor of, hey, the mayor's got 12 minutes.
Sure.
And we have a little timer up here for our segments now that actually can help us determine some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you always kind of go maybe one more question longer.
Sure, you push.
You're having a good conversation.
Yeah, you're
But I do. I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good. So that's Shane Smith telling me on a Sunday morning, I got to go stretch. This has been plenty. You've gotten all you're going to get out of me. That's fine. Do we have any other legendary goodbyes, Tanny? We're the best at goodbyes, but the voluntary goodbye by the guest at the end is quite a thing.
And we got that again today with the mayor who needed to go from the Zoom call that he was on.
These are all of the things that I get to enjoy every single day to ensure we build a safe, affordable city for fans all over the city, but all over the country as well. So thank you all very much. I really have enjoyed this time and looking forward to coming back as we celebrate, I believe, at least Central Division, and then we'll move on from there. Go Cubbies.
He brought it back around to the sports at the beginning of the interview, too.
Yeah.
He put a little cap on that thing. He's a politician.
Well, I mean, you know who else does that for us? Bruce does that for us. When Bruce is done, he's done. When Bruce has said all the things he needs to say, he's like, all right, guys, see you on Inside the Clubhouse. ITC is what the kids call
ITC.
It.
ITC.
That's what they call it.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
More on Dave Wannstedt, by the way, coming up at 5 o'clock. Because you want to talk about someone who really took advantage of their time at Hallis Hall last week, Speaks?
Yeah.
Oh.
Coach?
You talk about the guy being the mayor.
Good. I like when the coach is welcomed into the power structure. He deserves it. But Lawrence, we need to get into some meaty baseball conversation for a team that has definitely turned the corner as an organization, like somebody's been saying for a while now. And they seem to have now done it on the big league level a little. I want to know where you are with that. And also, we might be able to close the book on the more unfortunate chapter in said organization's past.
Maybe.
Let's do all of that.
All right, that's next on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Gets a hold of this one into right field. Adele going back, and it's going to off the wall. No, it is gone. It is over that yellow line. A three-run shot for Colson Montgomery in this first inning. How good has he been? 7 home runs now since the All-Star break.
I just think it's fun because the Sox are watchable. They're enjoyable. And I think they are, I think they have turned a corner.
What?
That has been one of the things that my partner has been saying for a while, that he feels like the White Sox organizationally have turned a corner. Okay. Okay.
Well, I mean, the reasons I brought that stuff up
is
the volume of prospects of consequence, the stories of development wins that had been accumulating, what I saw as thoughtful strategy on especially the pitching side with Brian Bannister, but also the hitting side with Ryan Fuller, the Colson Montgomery swing school and the way that they talked about it, the pitching philosophy and strategy of taking biomechanical breaks with certain prospects to use their time better, like things like that.
I do think that's brilliant. I do think that is a break from baseball tradition that has needed to happen.
Right.
Where it's like, you know what? You know what we should do? Stop playing for a little bit. Just stop.
Yeah.
Let's figure some of this stuff out. It's clear because the idea is this person needs to play to make these changes. And while I do think that there is a huge component of that, if you were to the granular part of making a player better, it's not playing as much as it is practice. And it's hard to practice while you're still dealing with the stress of a game in a game.
Going through the grind, you know? Going through the grind every day and still trying to find your way is a big, big ask. So, yeah, like those are some of the reasons from the organizational perspective. But I certainly have talked to a lot of people on Hit and Run and otherwise who are like, I'm sorry, I just need to see it on the big league level. I'm just going to need to see that. Thank you.
I'm not quite as strident as they are, but I'm closer to where they are than where you are.
They're 10-5 since the All-Star break. Only the Brewers and the Red Hot Marlins have a better record.
How about the Marlins?
Amazing.
Good God.
But the White Sox, 10-5, they have one of the best offenses since the All-Star break. In terms of OPS since the break, they are third behind the Brewers and, wait for it, the Colorado Rockies, ladies and gentlemen.
The chase.
The chase for the chase for disgrace. But the White Sox are tied for the second most runs since the break. Of course, behind the mighty Milwaukee Brewers again. And it's the kids. Colson Montgomery has 7 homers in 11 games.
He's been very good.
After no homers in his first 14, he made some adjustments and now has 7 in 11 games.
It's kind of amazing. I'd also need to see when he goes around the league once, what does that look like?
I mean, absolutely. But these are, I spent some time with Len Casper and Darren Jackson the other night driving back from South Bend. Not in person, but like, but on the air.
I did too, Speaks. Saturday night, you start to doze off a little bit. I was like, you know what, let me put my guys on and finish off the rest of this game here.
Didn't they sound great, man?
They always do, yeah.
I know, but like, they're so excited. And a lot of people around the team and those who follow the team closely, talked to James Fegan yesterday, like, on Hit and Run, but it's like people are excited because it's so obviously a different team. It is so obviously a different manager, a different vibe, and they've been doing a lot of things right on the field much of the year. Now the wins are following suit, and it's a lot of the kids, man. Edgar Caro has been killing it, been using him at DH, and that's been good. And yeah, some of the veterans and, you know, like Talkman and some of the other guys who aren't necessarily going to be around when you're good are part of it, obviously. But, you know, Talkman's been a good influence. But it's the kids, man. It's, and Jordan Leisure looking real good. good over the weekend. Like there's
Teal.
Kyle Teal. I mean, there's like, and Mydroth is a player. That kid is a player. So there's a nice thing happening. It's the beginnings of something.
Okay.
That's amazing.
I'm glad that you're in that place.
You know what somebody brought up yesterday? That the White Sox are going to turn a corner as an org. They're going to be real good.
And then there's going to be a work stoppage.
Damn Skippy. They're going to be real good next year in the bonus year. And they're going to be like, man, look at them. Oh,
they're on the come.
They're next. Next year's the bonus year. And they're going to be like, oh, they made the playoffs. They even won a series.
I think that's probably too generous.
Well, okay. To be honest with you, like if they were good next year, I would take it. Like, fine.
It
I'll deal with the work.
Shocking.
I'll deal with the work stoppage. Just get, if they're good next year, I'll take it.
Define good.
Yeah, I mean, I just went head out over skis. Like, maybe they'd be next year's version of last year's Tigers, you know? The Marlins, could the Marlins be this year's version of last year's Tigers, right? If the Marlins go on a run here, Marlins have been good for a while now. Like,
since the end of June, right?
Yeah,
they've made that, what were they, 16 games under? And now they're at 500? That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's some crazy stuff.
They're six games out of the wild card as we sit here right now, 55 and 55.
They're making a push. And it's so funny when you see how they're doing it. Like Kyle Stowers has been absolutely great, right? And the Marlins got him and Connor Norby in exchange for the pitcher Trevor Rogers.
Connor Knight.
Yeah. So, and then Augustine Ramirez, their catcher who's killing it. He was part of the package for Jazz Chisholm from the Yankees.
Quite the weekend this weekend.
In any event, you know, before we eventually will make this back around to the Cubs, we're going to the Marlins prospects and things like that. But, like, there's a lot of Sox fans. Like, I know Lawrence is skeptical, and I am too generally, but I'm just trying to live in the moment with this. Like, I even...
So what'd you do?
I bought the CHSN app, you know. I'm sitting out there. My wife's out of town, right? Wife's out of town. Daughter was with her friends, and I'm just sitting there, like, you know, all the chores were done. I'm like, you know what? I'd love to go sit outside in the yard and watch the Sox. All right, let's do this. Like, after listening to them the night before and after just seeing what this kid Colson Montgomery's doing, I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm ready to have the White Sox a part of my life once again. And who knows? You know, Colson Montgomery could be due for a very, very rude awakening, as Lauren said. But, like, for once, it's encouraging to have a guy like that come out of the gate pretty hot. And, you know, like, oh, God, here's another fail. Prospect slumping out of the chute, like everything that, like, it's not just a slugging first baseman or DH type to get excited about. It's a guy that can actually help you win. He's already an above water, you know, positive win player. You know what I mean? So for a Sox prospect, I will take that.
It's the guy with the Corey Seager comps that makes sense if he can actually hit. You know, athletically and positionally, it makes sense. But if he hits, then the Corey Seager comps make a little more sense.
I'm glad that he is having this success, and it does speak to them trying something completely out of pocket, not something that most major league teams would do. Most major league teams would look at a guy that would need to go to swing school and go, you know what? We're done with that prospect. But to take the last step, which I imagine was the last step for the White Sox. Like the White Sox going, you know what we can do? Why don't we just stop him from playing baseball and then work with him? And if we don't see results then we got to move on.
But people wanted him up, like, this early as opening day roster. They're like, bring him up
which was ridiculous.
Yeah, then what would have happened? You know, like, that would have been totally on par with, like, some of the things that we had seen from Sox prospects over the years. Guy comes up too quick, fails, and then, you know, burns out, and you never really see him again.
But we've also seen some of the reverse. Like, think about how hot Gordon Beckham was when he first started with the White Sox. And Gordon, I thought, had a fine career. Like, a guy that played for a decade in the league. But Bacon, at the beginning, was, oh, this guy should hit leadoff, and he'll hit leadoff for the White Sox for the next decade. And then the league gets the book on you, and there's some things that you can't overcome.
Yeah, well, that's baseball. You got to keep making those adjustments back, you know? It's like, I love Tanny buying the CHSN app.
Me too.
Yesterday, Marty and I...
Well, Blackhawk season's around the corner,
there
too.
You go.
I do think that it's because of Alex's ad reads. I think that's what sold him.
Definitely.
That's what sold me on getting it, at least.
Your own ad reads.
Look, right. I once the Comcast deal was done, I went back to it. I went back to Xfinity. After the Comcast deal was done, I had been with Fubo
and I just like the interface better.
Oh, yeah, man. The Xfinity interface is the business.
So the fact...
The C button.
And being able to see our friends do really cool stuff. Like, their programming over there is pretty cool. And seeing some of that stuff, I'm glad that you found a little bit of joy. You got your White Sox cap on today.
Yeah, I slowly integrated the Sox cap back into the wardrobe. But yeah, I think having them, when they were back on the U against the Cubs, like, and then my daughter's like, hey, when are we going to go to a Sox game again?
Oh,
so like that comes around.
Nice.
That
that's
rolls
how it
back
happens.
Around. And I was like, yeah, but just having them consistently for three straight games on your television,
yeah.
Like you do, you're like, I miss that as part of the fabric of your summers. And yeah, so when it's a better product, above all, the product has to be something you feel good about. I wasn't going to do this for like another, you know, 2024 season, you know, but it feels good.
Long time acerbic White Sox fan caller Marty in Highland Park. Yesterday on Hit and Run said he feels like he's been reunited with an estranged friend. That's his relationship with the White Sox is back, right? It's like, God, this friend, I hate this person now, but God, we had some fun together. We really did. It was nice. And like, well, maybe we should hang out. Maybe we should hang out again. So there's Tanny and his White Sox hanging out together again.
I think I'm going to do, I thought about it this weekend. I legit thought about this weekend going to Anaheim. To go watch the White Sox.
You think about a lot.
I do.
Instead, what are you doing?
I was just hanging out. But I thought about it.
Yeah, well, we're familiar with the way you think about going places.
But then you bait us
and you switch. That's what you do.
You'll say, I might go.
I might.
Alex, that's it. You're on to the bit.
Are they in Kansas City this weekend? Or is it next weekend, maybe?
And then Alex, he'll wait until he's not there and say, I still might go tomorrow. You know,
I still might.
It just keeps trolling us.
I am going to Canada. I'm going to go see the Cubs play the Blue Jays.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. That's you go see the Cubs
and the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays are pretty good.
Not the White Sox, but we're talking about a road trip for the White Sox. Getting on a plane to go see the White Sox. I mean,
that's a lot. It's a big ass for the Sox.
Toronto's easy though.
I mean, most media entities don't send people on planes to see the White Sox. To be honest.
The White Sox are in KC next weekend.
Next weekend.
Oh.
Not this weekend.
No.
No, but that's fine. That seems like I'm not going anywhere. So go next weekend. Go to the Negro Leagues Museum. See Bob Kendrick.
Go do it. Go to the Jazz Museum.
Yeah.
Across the parking lot.
And I like the Royals ballpark actually too.
Yeah. No, we're not gonna pivot to the negative.
Yeah.
Good. We teased it, but I'm content to not hear more about what happened to the unraveling of the 2021.
How about we save that for another time?
Another time.
It's okay to speak nicely about the White Sox.
Yeah, just live in the present, live in the now. Although this texture is saying that Mack and Spiegs killed Gordon Beckham's career. You, sir, can bite me, okay? Just because I had to ask him every week what was going wrong and he didn't have an answer every single week. I just got to get back to being myself. Oh, was it tough to listen to and tough to interview. But it's not our fault, sir. How dare you?
It was a really big like drop-off because that first season was a... He played a lot of games. Like, it wasn't like it was 10 games.
Remember
it was 100
Ozzie,
games.
Remember Ozzie going, don't go putting bacon in the Hall of Fame?
Ozzie knows. Said,
if we need bacon, we're in trouble. Like, he said that very early on, and so true.
He's an 808 OPS that first year. He's a 2.1 war player.
808, then heartbreak.
Bring it all back to Kanye.
Come on now.
Building a house at
Come
Soldier
on.
Field.
You're always talking about Kanye.
Lighting it on fire.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Be careful with that wave.
I mean, it does go with Kanye and with the things that Spiegs likes to talk about usually.
Do I look muskish in that? Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good point. Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
When we come back, why don't we talk a little bit about someone maybe not knowing that they were being talked about.
He was not so vain to think it was all about him.
Yeah, yeah. We'll explain what we mean next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback.
Respect. A lot of people say this honor validates my career, but I didn't work hard for validation. I didn't play the game right because I saw a reward at the end of the tunnel. I played it right because that's what you're supposed to do. Play it right and with respect. If this validates anything, it's that learning how to bunt and hit and run and turning two is more important than knowing where to find the little red light at the dugout camera.
Seems pretty obvious to me who Rhino might be talking about.
Ryan Sandberg, in his Hall of Fame speech, discussing specifically a guy being able to turn two as to find the red, as opposed to finding the red light on the dugout camera. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm doing the math on the time frame and maybe the organization that Rhino felt the most passionate about.
I mean, you know, Andre Dawson was always looking for that camera. Always looking for it.
God, if only we knew how the speechwriter Barry Rosner felt about Sammy Sosa. You know what I mean? If only we had a clue. Oh, that's right. Remember that time Barry joined us after playing golf when Sosa had been welcomed back into the fold? So, yeah, Barry wrote the speech, and I think he had it in his mind. He was referring to steroid users and, among others, Sammy Sosa. We talked to Barry after Rhino passed in a wonderful conversation, and he described the moments of Rhino giving the speech and the Hall of Famers behind him on the stage.
I got up from where I was sitting and walked about 200 feet back and just started pacing because it suddenly hit me that I might have just ruined this guy's life. And so I was nervous, and we got a laugh in the first 10 seconds, I think. And I thought, okay, this is going to be okay. And then, of course, it was almost universally beloved quickly. It was like a revival meeting up on stage. Rhino said that he could hear the guys behind him, all the Hall of Famers sitting behind him, saying just going along with them the whole time, saying, that's right, that's damn right, you're damn right, and over and over again. And he felt that energy from them, and those guys loved it.
God, I love that visual of the revival feeling.
Well, wait, Tanny, could we play that part again? Because I do think that you could actually hear the harumph from the guys in the back of the room as Rhino is talking about
this
stuff.
You can hear guys on the speech?
I'm not like specific guys saying, but you can hear, doesn't sound like it's coming from the crowd.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like it's coming from behind him.
Damn
so.
Right. You're damn right.
Harumph.
Yeah.
Harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of you.
Mm-hmm. Respect. A lot of people say this honor validates my career, but I didn't work hard for validation. I didn't play the game right because I saw a reward at the end of the tunnel. I played it right because that's what you're supposed to do. Play it right and with respect. If this validates anything, it's that learning how to bunt and hit and run and turning two is more important than knowing where to find the little red light at the dugout camera.
Damn right.
Harumph.
That's why Sosa will never be here.
All right, I invented that part, but it was kind of implied, I think. And so Sammy was on ITC.
Sammy, very busy.
He was, but not so busy. He couldn't stop by ITC.
Yeah, he wanted to talk about Rhino, and here's what he had to say.
Well, you know, the relationship with Rhino was great. I mean, everybody that go to Hall of Fame have different speech. I don't know, all this guy's speech, you know, pretty much went to a different level. There are people thinking about something else, but I'm, you know, doesn't bother me because I mean I know that I play the way that I play was great and my numbers are there, so you know pretty much it don't bother me
on ITC inside the clubhouse.
Now look, Sammy's in a real bad spot there. You can't, like, let's say that he was angry about it. you can't in that moment say it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, not even angry. It's
if you felt like you were the target of that insult, even in that moment, you can't say anything.
You know, there's really only one scenario in which you could. And the scenario would be if you're comfortable with the fact that you did some things wrong and you regret them and you're comfortable talking about them.
Oh, he's not comfortable.
If you're comfortable.
You see, it's not a question that I expected from you.
Now we're getting somewhere. This collection of public Sammy moments where he doesn't acknowledge what everybody wants him to acknowledge. It is an awkward spot. It is an awkward spot because the superpower of admitting you might have made a mistake, you know, because you're human, is it gives you an option to actually move on with your life with some dignity and respect.
But how about, like, let's try and spin it positive. How about Sammy had a human moment of empathy and sympathy because he knows how people feel about Rhino.
Okay.
And even if he did have beef with Rhino, that was not the time nor the forum to then acknowledge that beef. He's like, you know what? I don't know if he's talking about me. Everyone has their own speech. I love the guy. We were great.
All right, that's fair. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
I don't believe it.
Okay, but you'll give it to me.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that it's a possible destination, and it might have been a thought that went through his head of like, I can't say that,
you know,
man.
The truth is that
on ITC,
the void that is left by the death of Ryan Sandberg on the next generation of ambassadors, if you will, you know, with Billy Williams still with us and Fergie still with us. But with Ernie gone and obviously Santo gone and others, it's going to fall to Andre Dawson, who, is a lovely guy and has been thoughtful and eloquent, and it's going to fall to
Sean Dunstan. Cause he's been telling this story. Greg Maddux.
Those guys are going to have an opportunity to step up with a presence as ambassadors.
If they want. Like, I don't want to push anyone into that role just because there's a void. If they want to come back and do that, that'd be great.
Well, they'll get offers.
Dawson was so funny on the marquee pregame. I'm sure you guys saw it. It was Sutcliffe telling the story. He's like, I told the Cubs to take $100,000 of my contract so we can, you know, give it to Andre Dawson. And Hawk goes, I'm still waiting for that.
See, it's good to see him like laugh because
absolutely
when we talked to him, he was distraught.
Hey, and
rightfully so.
The whole weekend, those guys like, and I kept thinking about that when I saw Dunstan, who was broken up on MLB Network. Those guys needed each other this weekend.
Yeah.
Man, Sutcliffe was bawling as he's walking out there to replace second base on Friday, and then I'm sure he needed Jody Davis and Dunstan to, like, you know, for them to all be together.
I really love the way that Cub fans, Rhino fans have, I don't ordinarily like kind of the laying of the flowers type thing because that often can then be labor for that family, you know, like wherever, like if you're laying flowers or teddy bears at someone's door because a child has died, that family is the one that has to clean that up. Mm-hmm. And then they have to relive some of that trauma. But I've really liked this.
Yeah, it's been very natural.
It's been beautiful. It's been beautiful, and I'm sure that will continue tonight over on the north side.
Lawrence, you were at Bears camp on Thursday morning, and I haven't even really talked about it with you. I need to know what some of your impressions were.
I got some stuff. I have one thing in particular that I knew. I have one quote that I can share that I know that you are going to like.
Yee.
We're not going to win many games.
That's not the quote.
Not the one.
I don't think. We'll share. Talk Bears next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.